Hey, everybody, it's Andy. Welcome or welcome back to the Decatur City Church Podcast. At the end of this episode, we would love it if you would take just a moment to download the Decatur City Church app, where you can find access to all of our recent message content. And the app is the easiest way to share this content with a friend. But most importantly, I hope you enjoy the following presentation, and I hope it inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey.
Christmas, I think about being 7 years old. We were living in Southfield, Michigan at the time, and we didn't have a ton of money for Christmas, let alone a Christmas tree. My three younger brothers and I had been asking our mom, when are we going to get a Christmas tree? And she said we would have to ask God about it because money was tight. We prayed all week, like prayed, to the point that we went across the street to the nuns and asked them to pray so that we could get a Christmas tree that looked even as close to a Christmas, Charlie Brown Christmas tree as possible. The weeks passed and Christmas Eve came and we still had no tree. My mom told us to trust God and he would come through, although she still had no idea how. Late that evening, as we were ironically watching Merry Christmas, Charlie Brown, and making a popcorn garland for the tree that we didn't yet have, my dad burst through the door with the largest, fullest, most beautiful tree that we had ever seen. This was definitely not a Charlie Brown Christmas tree. It was better than anything that we could have ever imagined. And as we wondered at the miracle of our Christmas tree, my dad explained that he had driven up to a tree lot on his way home from work. And he was going to negotiate a deal to get a smaller tree. And as he walked up, the guy approached him and he said, "Hey, my kids have been praying for a Christmas tree." And the man turned around, pulled out a bigger and better tree, and told him, "It's just $5. And with a crooked smile, he told my dad Merry Christmas and sent him on his way. The biggest Christmas tree I could have ever imagined, lit with multicolored lights, string popcorn garland, all of the homemade ornaments that you could think of, and a tinsel star on top. It was truly a magical night. When I think about Christmases to come, I hope that that same sense of wonder and that same sense of hope is a part of my future memories.
When I think about Christmas, I think about my father. He worked for the CDC and managed their in-house printing department. They used huge rolls of white paper, about 3 feet wide and about 6 feet tall. And when they would get to the end of a roll with about a few feet left in the roll, they would just throw the remaining roll away. Well, my dad would sometimes bring this remaining roll home for us to draw on as kids. At Christmas, we had an artificial tree with colored lights, handmade ornaments, and those silver tinsel icicles hanging from each branch. You know the ones I mean. Our stockings were the classic red with white fur on top, one for my dad, one for my mom, one for me, and one for my younger sister. I have the clearest picture of Christmas morning. My younger sister and I would go downstairs to see what Santa had brought us while we were asleep, and we would see a large gift covered with that white paper from CDC and decorated by my dad. It would be covered with artwork and funny sayings and in his unmistakable handwriting. My dad just didn't see any point in spending money on traditional wrapping paper for such big gifts when he could just use something simple that came from him. He chose to make something personal, non-traditional, and use his creativity to celebrate Christmas and our family. My dad passed away this last February after a long struggle with dementia and Alzheimer's. This will be my first Christmas without him. While I'm deeply saddened by this realization, I know I am so much the better with such memories of a dad who celebrated family with such creativity. When I think about Christmases to come, I hope that I pour out the same love and creativity into the memories I create for my loved ones.
There's just something about Christmas time. There's something about the memories that we all begin to have as we reflect down our memory road. Some of them bring joy to our hearts, make us smile, make us sing songs and remember what it was like growing up as kids in a family. Maybe it was a full house. Maybe it wasn't that many people in your house, but you have these nostalgic feelings where you can smile and think back to all the wonderful cheer. Or maybe it's your first Christmas alone, like we just heard, and it's your first Christmas without somebody that you dearly loved, and it's not tears of sorrow, but it's tears of gratitude as you think back and say, hey, I remember all the beautiful moments that were made by somebody who truly loved me, and I want to give those memories to someone else. It's just something about this time of year that makes all of us draw near to what truly matters most. And I'm not sure if you're like me. I mean, I'm naturally an optimistic, cheerful person, so Christmas is my favorite time of year. And if it's yours, feel free to raise your hand and make some noise right now. I'm not sure who's this. Okay, so that's a pretty good room. We naturally have a lot of Christmas fans in the room, and not too long ago, about 2 weeks ago, I got a chance to fly home. I had a week in office. I went to hang out with my twin brother back in Akron, Ohio. I don't know if we have any Ohio people in the room right now. OH. There it is. I found it. I heard it somewhere. IO. And so it's our call and response. We do it every single time. And so so here I was. I flew home, hung out with my brother, and just 2 weeks ago. He's recently married. He just got married in August. Make some noise for that. I'm proud of him. It was a long journey. Y'all didn't clap because y'all haven't been on that whole journey with him and his girlfriend. It was a journey of 4 years, and amen, God got him to the end and got him down that aisle. So this is a beautiful moment, and so I always stay with Justin whenever I go home. He's my twin brothers, Joseph and Justin, and so I always stay with Justin. But this was a little bit unique because Danielle, his new wife, was here in the home, and so I noticed there were some changes to the home that weren't normal or typical for me. So I walked into my normal bedroom, and it was a new bedding, and I remember thinking, geez, we've had the same sheets on this bed for 3 years. I'm not sure if I'm fond of the new bedding, but I know that she's trying to make some upgrades. And she's like, Joseph, you're going to love your new bed. I said, okay, what happened to my old bedding? And she's like, oh, I threw it away. I said, oh my gosh, those are my childhood sheets. Okay. I said, that's all right. And so I'm getting used to this brand new home, this brand new reality. I'm loving her. She's awesome. I'm trying to get used to her and him. They're kind of romantic in front of me. I was like, oh, this is so beautiful. Oh, love is in the air. Justin is so happy. And so here I am sitting here in this new house, but I happened to notice something that was really, really near and dear to me. I noticed that there was no decorations. And if you know me, I take Christmas pretty seriously. And for the Sojourners, we always took decoration extremely seriously, probably because I lived in that house. And so I went to Justin. I said, hey, listen, there's no Christmas tree. And you know our family, we take Christmas decorations very, very seriously. And in order to understand that, I'm going to take you back to our childhood. We'd always run downstairs right the day after Thanksgiving. We'd run down, go into our little hideaway. In that hideaway was this rusty box. And we'd pull this box out and drag it all the way to our living room. And then we would drop it in the living room. And before we started pulling out our raggedy, dingy tree, we'd run to the very back room. And in the back room was this old record player my mom had. And we'd sift through all the records till we find the one record, because only one record mattered. And it was Alvin and the Chipmunks. We pull that record out and we put it on the record player. We would drop that needle and that music would start playing and it would set the atmosphere to what we would build that tree on. And I always remember, because my favorite song was this moment where the lyrics say, and maybe you heard them, one by one and two by two, I still want my... Oh, it's beautiful. I said, somebody get Alvin that hula hoop, the angst in his heart. I still want that hula hoop. I said, Alvin's got dreams and I got dreams too, Mama. I got to make it out this city. And as I built that tree, it was a such a special moment that we'd always share. And so here I am communicating these memories to Danielle because she doesn't come from our family. She's only 2 months in. And so I said, I want to explain to you just what Justin has dropped the ball and missed. This is something that is really, really important to our family. As a now sojourner, we want you to take it seriously too. So you need to make sure you make your way to the record store. Don't get a CD. Don't get a tape. Don't stream it. You need to make sure it's a record. Drop the needle on it and play Alvin and the Chipmunks. And as I'm educating her to our family history, Justin cuts me off and said, I hate Alvin and the Chipmunks. I said, Justin, hey, we're not going to argue in front of her. She's 2 months in. Let's be in our best behavior. I said, Dan, can you give us a moment? Can you give us a moment? This is a family issue. I said, hey, Justin, we love that. It's a tradition in our family. We've done it since we were kids. He said, I know we've done it since we were kids, and I hated it since we were children, and I told you every single year I hated it. I said, that was the role you played. You said you hated, we all laughed and said, stop playing. Then we dropped the needle and built the tree. He said, no, I was not playing. I hated that record from the very beginning. Every single year you guys would play it, it would take my Christmas cheer away. I said, oh my goodness. I said, okay. I said, calm down. Because if you had said that, we probably still would have played it. We just probably wouldn't have played both sides of it. We would have played the A side, and I probably would have played my favorites off of the B side. That's all we would have done if you had communicated that angst and that sorrow. As I was talking to Tinsley, as he was sharing his thoughts with me about Christmas, and as he was warping my entire memory of what Christmas was based on what his words were to me, as I began thinking about what I could say to you, it kind of symbolizes that simple story right there. Because to me, it was a memory that was full of wonder, full of joy, full of cheer. But to my twin brother, well, it was a memory that was horrific, that was terrible, that stole his Christmas cheer. And I'll never forget what he said at the end of our conversation. He said, I will never bring Alvin and the Chipmunks into my house. I said, well, look at you. Hasn't she changed you? I did not say that about her. I love Danielle. Danielle, if you're watching, I love you to death. You're awesome. But how things have changed, right? How I can have such a positive memory and yet his memory not be so beautiful. How his memory just doesn't seem to bring the same amount of joy in the heart. And if I were looking out in this room right here, I don't know why you're sitting in this room, but maybe you think back to your childhood and you think, geez, I remember church services. We would light candles and we'd sing along, and it was just like we did this morning. It was beautiful, it was magical, and it allowed me to remember just what Christmas was about. Or maybe you've been sitting here and you're thinking, I'm not sure what to think because my interaction with the church growing up was not as positive. Maybe I felt rejected. Maybe I felt like I never quite measured up. Maybe religion never quite fit on me. And every time I would get near it, I would feel like I just wasn't good enough. And you're sitting here and you're saying, I know the Christmas story. I know that it's supposed to be joy to the world and peace on earth, but I'm not feeling that peace, and I'm sure not feeling that joy. And yet you still sit here. You still sit here hoping to find something that I know you're looking for, that each one of us sitting in these seats are looking for. And that is the gift that was given through Christmas. And if you're feeling that angst, if you're feeling that tension, if you're feeling that worry or that shame or even that disconnect, I want to stop you this morning and say, maybe your story, maybe your memory of Christmas, maybe if it was good or even bad, maybe it's not that far from the original story of Christmas, the original Christmas story. Maybe it just takes us stopping for a moment and taking a look at what was so that we can remember what is to come. And if I were to tell you right now to picture the manger scene, all of us could picture our beautiful scene because we've all seen it since we were children. Maybe you think of some shepherds, you think of Mary and Joseph, you think of some animals, you think of whatever scene you might have seen growing up. It was maybe sitting in your neighborhood, or maybe it was sitting in front of a church. But we'd all picture this manger scene, and I'd say, how beautiful is it? You'd all say, oh, it's beautiful. It reminds me of Christmas. But if I told you how important is it to you, would you think of it as the most important night in human history? If you were looking at the manger scene, would you see it as the most important moment, the most important night in human history? Because that's what we're looking at. And although it's been created hundreds and thousands of times again in so many people's front yards, in so many people's displays on their mantle, every time we gaze at it, and just for a moment this morning as we gaze at it, let's take a moment and remember in context what that night was all about. And to do that, we've got to go all the way back to what the Israelites were feeling in that time. Because we're dealing with a nation that had been promised a Messiah, that once remembered itself for its greatness, remembered all of its wonderful accomplishments, and yet as years went by, it was conquered by nation to nation. And it seems as if every nation that would come through would conquer them again, would kill off more of their culture, would kill off more of their people, would destroy so much more of what mattered to them. And every single nation that came through and conquered them would destroy their hope, destroy their dreams for tomorrow. The temples where they worshiped their gods wiped away. Culture, literature, washed away as people assimilated them into theirs. And all while this happened, they kept being promised one thing. There's a Messiah coming. There's a Messiah coming. But as time went on, as more people died, as more dreams were deferred, as more temples were destroyed, as more culture ripped away from them, they turned into cynics. They began to not believe so much. The hope pushed away. And they began to think, what if their ancestors were just imagining this dream? What if it wasn't as beautiful as they thought? Maybe there was nobody coming. And 400 years later, this night happens. 400 years later, in their darkest time, where there was no more hope left, where they had given up on the history and all the tales that were told by ancestors before, Jesus enters the scene. And the beauty of this night is as they lay that baby in that manger and the first cries of that baby are heard, you can imagine all of heaven rejoicing, all of heaven erupting, because they're saying God has come down on the planet. God is with them. And as heaven erupts, the earth is silent because they don't know what's right in front of them. 400 years later, they look at that baby and they're not sure. And as they proclaim, Emmanuel, God with us, I'd imagine they thought, I don't know. I just don't feel it like I once did.
Thank you.
Circumstances weren't favorable. As a teenage mother and a teenage father ran for their lives in protection of this little baby boy, as they found this little remote inn and asked for shelter in a barn, as they find this little nook where I'm sure the animals are thinking, give us our space back, smelling not so beautiful, smelling just as you'd imagine a barn would, as she gives birth to this baby, placing him in this wooden manger, wrapping him in whatever she can find. And as she looks at this baby, as she looks through all the worry in her heart, in a place that's foreign, a place that's unfamiliar, in this backwoods called Bethlehem, she looks and says, what's going on? What exactly am I looking at? As all of heaven erupts, as all the angels give glory, glory to God on earth, peace to man is proclaimed. She's looking at this baby. And did she even know that through all her circumstances, history was being changed? That God stepped in, and in humankind's darkest moment, in the form of Jesus Christ, and redeemed all of our stories through this child that was not born in circumstances that were favorable. I'd imagine as you're thinking about your story, there's parts of it that you're thinking are just not beautiful. And in this Christmas season, you wish there are parts of your story you can change, just as Mary did. That there are moments you wish didn't look the way they did. And yet, we're here to remind you of just what this story is about. That our circumstances don't define what God is doing. That even when we can't see it, even when at times we can't feel exactly what he's planning, we're connected to something much, much greater. And that baby would grow up, and every single person he bumped into would be better because of him, because of how he loved, because of how he challenged, because of how he forgave, because of how he offered all life and life more abundantly. And as we look at his life, we're challenged to say, what kind of people will we be here at Decatur City? Because for years, 3 years specifically in this space, we take an empty room and we transform it. Why? Because we understand that there are people in our communities who are walking through these doors searching for help, searching for answers, searching for truth, searching for hope and love. And we give our time, we give our resources, we give our energy to transform this space so that we can sing these songs and remind ourselves exactly what this holiday, exactly what this life is all about. That there's a Savior who came for every single one of us. And so as we take some time away, 1 week, 2 week, 3 weeks, this isn't time away to not think about church. No, no, no. This is time for us to reflect and say, what kind of people do we want to be coming back? If this was just a chapter, if this is where the story began right here in the manger, and this young baby grew up to change the entire course of mankind by offering salvation to all with a contagious concern for others, that every single person who bumped into him said he cared about me, and that all those that came after that called themselves believers of the way continued to have that contagious concern for those in their communities, which is why we can still tell this story to this day of that little teenage girl on the run holding the gift of the world in her belly. And what kind of community will we be here at Decatur City? As we return January 27th, will we be the people who say, hey, we're entering in a new chapter, entering in this new space, and God is doing something new in Decatur. As we declare that we won't leave this city the way we found it, as we walk out and say that we will have the same contagious concern that Jesus had, as we take a moment this Sunday, our last Sunday here at Emory, to remember what happened, but inspire us to say, oh, it's not over yet. It's just beginning here in Decatur. And it's in our hands, it's in our feet, it's in our hearts that this story lives on. And that's what this holiday is about. It's about us remembering. So in just a moment, our pastor Tinsley is going to come up. We're going to have a chance to light some candles, and they're found underneath your seats. And here's why this is so important. We believe it's through our love and our joy and our peace that we will shine bright in this community. That this may be the last time we gather in this space, and then we take some time off. But as we take this time away, we simply reflect on how we will grow. Because when we gather again, we know we will shine even brighter. And we will walk into a new space and change this community again in an even greater way. Because he charged us to be light of this world. No matter the dark circumstance you might be facing, he said, just remember what you can't see. That God is with you. And you, and you, and all of heaven is still cheering for you. And if Mary knew when she was worried in that barn, I wonder if we're going to be safe. Oh, I wish we could say, Mary, if you know how much protection you got around that baby right now, ain't nobody going to get to that baby. Because all of heaven is watching. All of heaven is protecting you right now for that baby's story. And I want to look in someone's eyes this morning and say, I know you might be scared. I know you might be ready to give up hope, but heaven is watching. And he's saying, keep going. Walk with protection. Walk with courage. Walk in strength and know that God is with you. That's what this holiday is about. I'd love to pray for us. God, thank you. Thank you for coming as a man. Sending your son Jesus to walk amongst us, to show us exactly how we should walk, to love us as only he could, inspire us to love in ways that only can come from you. God, as we dream about our next chapter here of Decatur, we're inspired by looking at this story right here. It's our last day gathered in this room. God, we give thanks for all that you're doing, all that you've done. But most importantly, we look forward to all that you're going to do in our new space. And we just say thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor. And God, for every single person in this holiday season, allow us to have grateful hearts. Maybe our circumstances aren't beautiful, but we know the gift that was given to us so long ago. And for that, God, we have a reason to smile, a reason to find joy, and a reason to have hope. We thank you. We love you. And we together as a church say, amen. I love you.
Well, as Joseph said, if you look under your seat, you'll find a candle. You'll need that in just a second, so go ahead and grab that. I have absolutely loved the opportunity to celebrate Christmas with you guys and to hear all of the just fantastic memories that we have associated with it. And as we talk about those memories of the past, it just gets me so excited to think about the memories that we're going to create, the memories that we're going to have as we get ready to move from here at Emory and launch in our first ever non-portable location later in January. But before we kind of say goodbye to this chapter and run past this moment too quick, I thought it would be wise if we took just a second to create one more memory here. Because I think it's worth acknowledging how special this season is. And we're going to look back at this season, and it's been difficult, and Portable Church is challenging and all of that, but we're going to look back at this season, and we're going to think that was a significant chapter. And we're going to think, I got to be a part of that. And I hope every single one of you knows sitting in this room how valuable you are. You're valuable because you're a part of an incredible, incredible story. And the thing I love the most about this story that really is Decatur City Church is that our story, like so many stories, started with a big vision, but started small. Just a handful of people who had a passion to create a totally different kind of church. The kind of church where they could safely invite their friends and their family to be a part. They just wanted to create something that would just let everybody in the city know and understand how amazing our Heavenly Father is and how much He loves them. But like all things that started small, it didn't stay small. It began to spread. As more of you began to see this light that was growing, and you begin to say, hey, I want to be a part of that. I want to invest in that. I want to be a part of that story. I want to make sure that my friends and my neighbors and my relatives and everybody on my street has the opportunity to know and to see that Jesus loves me and He loves you and He loves this community more than we thought possible, and that our Heavenly Father is so much better. And so many of you showed up and you started investing in the bettering of this community, and you made sure that every single person had the opportunity to experience better. And the thing that I think is so unique about our story and that I just love so much is that when you look at our story, there's this common thread that kind of runs through it. Whether you were there in that first living room when just a handful of people gathered, whether you were there at Tucker High School when we met and first had our public service in an auditorium, or maybe the first time you were a part of this community was when we launched here at Emory, or maybe today is your first time that you've walked into this place, it's the first time you've ever been in here, or maybe, just maybe, God will use you to invite somebody, and their first time will be when we launch on the 27th. The thing that's just common throughout all of those experiences are you. It's people. It's a group of people who are far more concerned with others than they are about themselves. It's a group of people who would do anything and everything to make sure that every single person in this city had the opportunity to know how amazing our Heavenly Father is. That every single person would have the opportunity to celebrate what we celebrate at Christmas. That God sent His Son into the world to bring hope where there was no hope. To bring light where there was just utter darkness. Not just for people 2,000 years ago, not just a story on ancient documents, but for you and for me today, for the world that we live in now. So as we get ready to launch out into the next chapter, and it's sure to be an incredible chapter, I want us to celebrate together all that God has done, and I want us to anticipate all that He's going to do again. So I'd love it if you'd stand with me. With candles lit, we're going to sing one more song together. And as we sing this song together, we are singing about the Savior who brought His light into your world and mine.
And that is the Christmas story that we carry on. That the light of the world inspires us to go out and be the lights to our communities, to our neighborhoods, to our jobs, to our families, and to our friends. You can blow out your candle now. Our hope is that as you walk out these doors today, you don't forget this wonderful, wonderful trip down memory lane as we think about all the wonderful things that God has done for us over these last few years. So much time, so much energy, so much resources gone into this space, into the stories, so many stories that we get to hear week in and week out of the people here transformed and seeing God just a bit more clearly. And in order to commemorate this day, we're going to give each family just one ornament. And hopefully as you hang it on your tree every single year, you can think back to this day, the last day we gathered at Emory, the last time we sang, the last moment we looked at Christ, the Savior, in this beautiful scene, the most important night in all of humankind. That's what we hope that you hold on to as you hang that on your tree every single year as you walk out. That'll be a gift to each one of you. And then we really, really encourage you to say, hey, tell your neighbors, tell your friends, tell your family members that January 27th, we walk into a brand new chapter. We're excited. We're claiming that God is going to do some wonderful, wonderful things all throughout Decatur and beyond based on the people who are walking in that building with us. And so we encourage you all to think in these next 3 weeks and say, hey, maybe I can get plugged in more. Maybe I could do just a bit more. I'm ready to take it to the next level as we take it to the next level in this brand new space in the historic church that will begin to transform over these next few months right here in the heart of Decatur. We cannot wait for you to go on that part of the journey with us. But today, for just one last time, we just want to sing some songs. We're going to sing just one more song together. We're going to take some moment just to think about all the goodness of God. We're going to bring the energy up. We want you to just walk out of here smiling because we want everyone to know that you are loved. And no matter what circumstance you walk in this room with, you can let it go because you can walk out here knowing this simple truth. Emmanuel, God is with you. You do not walk alone anymore. You walk in a Father's love behind a Father that is guiding your every single step into a path, into a place, into a plan that maybe you can't see just yet, but you can have trust and have faith in knowing that He is good. He is good for you. And so we sing this song, we sing it to rekindle our joy, to remember just what this day is all about, what this season is all about. And that is a God who sent His Son so that we might find life and life in Him. Sing along with us.
All right, one last time. Here we go. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King.
It's beautiful.
Let prepare Him new and heaven and heaven and nature see, and heaven and nature see, and heaven and heaven and nature.
Well, once again, thanks for listening. If you live in or near the city of Decatur, we would love for you to attend one of our weekend gatherings at Decatur City Church. For information, service times, and information about our fabulous children's environments and our student environments, visit us at DecaturCity.org. That's DecaturCity.org.